8:07 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, head on over to our website, fmtalk1065.com, where you podcast a la carte over there and engage in our online opinion poll question about how much you're willing to pay for a toll. Not how much you want to pay on the toll. I mean, there's a bunch of people say, I want to pay zero. Yeah, me too. I'm saying willing. There's the choice of words, the semantics important there. What would you be willing to pay to cross a, you know, because necessarily if they do this, they're going to toll the bridge and the tunnel. What would you be willing to pay? You can vote in that. And also while you're there, check out three big things, top stories of the day. Look through the Alabama Senate to expected to vote on that abortion ban today when they gavel back in. Plus, AG Barr launching a new look at the origins of the Russia probe. And I want to point out the Baldwin County has their law enforcement memorial ceremony going on today in Robertsdale. Event starts at 10 this morning at Law Enforcement Memorial Park next to the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office in Robertsdale. It is Police Week, National Law Enforcement Week. We'll have Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joining us in the 1 o'clock hour of Midday Mobile today as we talk more about that. It is going on all week long, and we'll bring attention to both sides of the bay. Also, with this being a Tuesday, y'all say hello to Quinn Hillier, who is the man behind this. I know it's surprising. QuinnHillier.com.
Oh.
And also the author of the trilogy, the Bad Jones trilogy, available now on Amazon. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning. I'm thinking of changing the website to HillierQuinn.com just to confuse people.
That'd be good. I like that. I mean, it would, maybe Google search would like that more. Who knows what their search engine optimization says with the ordering of your name. Lots to talk about this morning in state news and national news with you. I'd say we can start off, let's start off with the subject, at least the economic subject that is a big national story and, of course, an international story. And that is a discussion of this trade war, the tariffs in effect now with China, and then China going to impose those tariffs starting June 1st on U.S. products. Where do we go from here? And is there a win here for the president?
Oh, God, no. This is one of the worst losses he's ever had, and or not him, but the American public, consumers, small businesses, exporters, especially farmers, and especially Alabama. I just saw something that said Alabama is one of the two or three states of the 50 that would be hit or is being hit hardest by the tariffs going both ways. I mean, you know, this is Trump country, and yet we are the ones suffering most by Trump's favorite policy. I mean, I could go on and on, but this is counterproductive. It is a tax on American importers, it's a tax on American consumers, and it leads to retaliations from China, which puts taxes on, in effect, on American exporters.
You know, and I've talked about this a good bit yesterday and pointed out the trade imbalance out there, and also as you, for the last, what, it's been... There's been a tariff in effect against Chinese products over the last few months, but it's been on components. So American companies could pass on those costs or soak them up in their production. Now, with $200 billion worth of consumer products, I would worry for the Trump administration that this is the one that can get pushback, right? When it's not components that a few companies are buying, or maybe money companies, but it's whatever plastic, cheap plastic things we're buying at box stores out there start getting very expensive. They may get some pressure back the other way.
Well, look, even on Fox News with a conservative economic lady on there, I forget her name, yesterday, she was saying that for the average range, you know, there's that middle quintile of American earners, okay? So it's a range of people, you know, from the 40th to the 60th percentile or whatever. The amount of extra the average American will pay because of these tariffs in a year is between $767 and $2,000. Now, if your listeners' income taxes were raised $767, or especially if they were raised $2,000, they would be yelling bloody murder. People yell bloody murder when their taxes go up $50 a year. This is a backdoor tax increase on Americans. The Chinese don't pay it. What it means is we pay, or our companies pay, a tax on the goods that come in.
Sure. I mean, I said this yesterday. There's no way for the money to go into the treasury from tariffs unless it's paid by somebody here in the United States.
Exactly. We are taxing ourselves
sure.
to try to hurt China.
Okay.
And then I can talk about the downstream effects that downstream also reverberate to hurt us as well.
Okay,
I mean,
well, let me
makes no sense.
Okay, well, for a second though, let me take myself out of my own shoes because I, you know, tariffs wise, probably agree with you more. But I want to play the other side here and say, okay, number one, do you think the trade imbalance that has existed between the United States and China is a good thing for Americans?
I actually don't think it makes much of a difference. Here's why: Trump is bragging about the best economy ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we have the best economy ever, we're obviously not being hurt too much by whatever trade imbalance is there with China. But to the extent that we don't want a trade imbalance because that means they hold our debt, then the answer is not to go it alone, but to do something that Trump doesn't do, which is to build international coalitions. So it's not just us trying to fight China on trade, but the worldwide, you know, at least all of the G7 nations, if they're all doing it to China, if you build a coalition, then China doesn't have anywhere else to go to sell their products instead of us, and they can't retaliate just against us. So that puts pressure on them. If it's just us, even as big as we are, they can turn around and sell to others.
Right.
They can suck it up a little bit. We don't really win. We only win if we use the international community, but especially with the World Trade Organization. Trump has thumbed its nose at us at the World Trade Organization, so nobody wants to help us.
Well, and there's, you know, some people saying, hey, the United States should be back in the TPP because of this, but I would say this, just as, and you're saying things that are true. I said these yesterday. China can sell elsewhere. We are the big consumer for them, but they can find markets elsewhere. But you know, Quinn, United States can also find trading partners. I think, you know, all the attention on Vietnam as of late is a tell to me where you could go get that production. Once again, I think we're out of the frying pan and into the fire. We're paying cheap labor in these countries, and you know, whether it's Vietnam or it's China, it's the same deal. But you know, we can go elsewhere to find production facilities to produce these things to come in, whether they're components or they're direct consumer goods. You can look at Vietnam, you can look at India, you can look at elsewhere. So just as much as there's a threat of China finding new markets, there's also the threat of the United States finding new people on the production side.
Well, there is, but not at the same low prices. And look, I'm not saying that
you're telling me they're going to gouge us from Vietnam, the labor rate in Vietnam?
Maybe not Vietnam, but India certainly would.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a fair comparison.
And Vietnam doesn't have anywhere near the capacity, obviously, that China
does. But they could.
No. Vietnam is one, in terms of population and size, it's what, 120th?
Yeah, but if the money's there, can you imagine the build-out? I'm just saying, that as much as there's a threat, and I agree with you, there's a threat of China finding other markets. We're not the only market.
China has a billion people. Vietnam has, what, 100, has 60 million or something like that. Anyway, so the listeners understand, there are things that China is doing wrong that we need to force them to change, the biggest of which is intellectual property theft.
Mm-hmm.
But if we stay focused narrowly on intellectual property theft and we get all the European nations and the other first world nations who are also suffering from intellectual property theft to put pressure on China, if we all do that together but focus on that thing, we can fix that without this major trade war that ends up hurting ourselves. I mean, I'm not for saying, oh, let China do whatever it wants. I'm saying target exactly what they're doing wrong, and do it in a more broad-based measure with other countries.
Quinn, population of Vietnam now 95.5 million, just to answer that. But my question for you, a lot of people that support Trump's actions as far as trade with China, a lot of people that are affected by this trade war have, you know, sacrificed personally in the past for their own budgets at home, whether to pay off debt, pay off student loans, and they know they have to sacrifice short short-term money for long-term, you know, prosperity. And I think a lot of them feel the same way about the actions that are going on right now. If I have to pay a little bit more for these goods, or if I have to, if I don't make as much money trading to China, that it's good for the long-term gain of the country.
What is the long-term gain? That's what I don't get. There's actually not a bigger long-term gain other than maybe China goes from holding about 9% of our debt down to holding 7% of our debt, and so 2% is held elsewhere. I mean, that's not a long-term gain. If people are so okay with short-term hurt for long-term gain, then why aren't they supporting slightly higher property taxes? Why aren't they supporting, you know, all kinds of other smaller taxes that they howl about? This is a $767 minimum tax per year on the average American. I don't know many average Americans that think that is a short-term pain that they're willing to pay.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's not about that they think there's a specific, you know, war to be won mm-hmm. here, because we hear a lot of people call up and say, you know what, even though it's going to affect my business, I'll take the lick.
That's what I'm asking. For what? What is the gain? Nobody has really identified.
Well, I think what the undercurrent here has to be the restart of American manufacturing. But I think that's why I point out Vietnam and other countries to folks, too, that we're actively looking for new partners. So this idea that even if we stay in a tariff war with China, there's cheap labor elsewhere on the globe, and unless they tariff every country that has cheaper labor than us, there is going to be somebody fill in that gap.
Well, yeah, rather than American, so
right.
It doesn't really boost American manufacturing. But here's the really perverse thing. Everybody knows that the group that it's hurting the most is the American farmer, who had been supportive of Trump before. I just saw that on the news today. The Farm Belt is really getting hit. Farmers in Alabama, by the way, are really getting hit. And so Trump says, well, that's okay. We'll just spend money out of the federal treasury and bail out the farmers. Well, guess what? What does that do? If you spend money on the U.S. Treasury to bail out the farmers to help pay for them losing markets, that gets added to the debt on our children and our grandchildren. And guess what? Where is that debt held? Well, 9% of that debt is held in China.
So that's brilliant, having the Chinese subsidize our tariff war with them.
Exactly. The Chinese bankers get richer because we are bailing out our farmers for costing them exports while we are taxing our own consumers.
But in the short term, the Chinese are financing our tariff war against them. Quinn, hold on. We're right up against a break. We'll come right back. Talk more about this. See where it goes. $200 billion worth of consumer products. And then it's, $60 billion on the Chinese side when they impose the tariffs starting June 1st. All right, 824 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. You know, I feel like I'm just not doing it correctly, Quinn, because I've had, I think, a fair discussion about tariffs over time, and I've gotten some pushback, but nothing like the folks lined up to tell you you're wrong, Quinn.
And again, I would ask them, A, what is the end game? Why? What do we have to gain? B, why is this the best method to do it? I mean, this is like all those people who you hear call into the sports shows and their answer to everything is, well, we should have thrown a bomb. It's like people, this would be like somebody saying, well, the Saints would win every game if they just had Drew Brees step back and throw a bomb on every single play. It's the all or nothing, hit or miss idea, and it doesn't work.
Well,
again,
I do this.
What I'm arguing is not that we shouldn't try to get tough with China, but we got to get tough in a smart way. And right now, this is not smart because it hurts us at least as much as them. At least as much as them, and probably a lot more.
I want to do this, because there's always people that, like, tell Quinn this and tell Quinn that. I'm tired of doing that. I'll just let them do it. Charles in Seminole, you're on with Quinn.
Hey, good morning, Clint. I agree with Quinn. 90% of what you're saying, but there's a 10% factor, or maybe more, that we don't understand, and maybe you do. We're defining inflation as rising prices, and that's the erroneous definition of inflation. Once you understand inflation, and we've had inflation for over 75 years, matter of fact, the dollar in 1913 was worth a dollar. Today, it's worth 2 or 3 cents. So they've been inflating our money by printing it out of nothing. Explain to us the Federal Reserve System and how they create money out of nothing. And China, this problem is just a Band-Aid, and we've been importing and exporting inflation, that is, sending dollars overseas for cheap labor. Corporations have been going over there for cheap labor, and they did it after the Civil War. They came south for cheap labor, and big international corporations are always looking for cheap labor, and in China, it's 25 cents an hour. China is still a socialist country, a communist country. They're not capitalist, as we understand the word capitalist. So, Quint, I don't know whether you're an Austrian school of economics or a Keynesian economics. There's a big difference, and we need to have an Austrian school of economics person on here to really explain free markets versus socialistic controlled economics.
All right, let me let Quinn respond to that. Charles, appreciate the call. Quinn?
I agree with 100% of what Charles said, and I am definitely Austrian school, Hayek and free market people like that. Everything that he said was absolutely right. The one consideration, though, is that that if we are doing, we're basically having them eat our inflation, which is sort of what he said. What that does is it shows up in debt, and the one part of the trade imbalance that actually does hurt us is to the extent that foreign lands rather than Americans hold American debt. And that means that eventually they have leverage over us. So that is the one and only reason to really worry about the annual trade deficit, is because it exports the people that hold our economic purse strings.
Well, you know, that nobody else is interested in the, you know, the debt. I go through this all the time. It seems to be whatever party's in power.
And they will be interested once somebody starts calling it in, just like with the financial crisis. As soon as one major entity, and it was a semi-major one, started saying, okay, I am calling in the debt of the other one, that caused a ripple effect, and suddenly the whole economy collapsed.
You know, but I'm always told on that when I talk to folks, they're like, oh, that'll never happen. And there's no argument to that. I mean, I go, okay, well, you think one way, I think the other. Let's go to Bill in Mobile. You're on with Quinn.
Okay, he asked what the end game is. The problem is that, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, look at Sri Lanka. What the Chinese did is lent them so much money that they had to forfeit their port there. Look at the Panama Canal. Look at what's happening to, you know, they said, come in, and they've taken over our electronics. Even some of our fighter planes and have chips and so forth that are made in China. And they're going after the steel industry. What country can survive any kind of military conflict without a steel industry?
All right,
that's where it's going, and we've got to save our country. Look where we were before. We started after the Second World War. We went from being a lender nation to a debtor nation. We're the largest debtor nation in the world right now.
All right, Bill, let me let Quinn. Quinn, we have just 1 minute here before the
China
break.
China holds less than 10% of American debt, so it's important, but it's not, you know, it's not a disaster. But to the extent that he makes that point, that's right. The answer to that is stop running a federal debt so you have less total American debt outstanding, and that's a matter of domestic politics rather than of trying to make the Chinese hold only 8% of the debt instead of 9%. I mean, that the numbers are not that huge.
All right, to remind folks where they can read your work.
QuinnHillier.com, or just Google Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner.
Also the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy. You can check that out on Amazon. And we thank you, Quinn. Come right back. We'll grab some phone calls. 343-0106.
Hey, 36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. So a lot of people that are looking to go out and buy a new or used vehicle, they prepare before they go to the dealership, feel like they have to negotiate for an entire day, like a trade war with China almost. But things are done a little bit differently at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Dalton. I think people kind of tune most car dealers out because they don't trust them. And our relationship with the Gulf Coast of Mobile is quite different over, you know, since 1955. And it's this simple, Dalton. We just really believe in transparency. And other than that, it's the word respect. So, and I know it's a crazy concept when you're buying a car, but when you go to our website, DaltonMcConnellAutomotive.com, we got some of the best prices anywhere within three or four states. And it's a price we actually honor. So I think a lot of people, if they're listening, and you're thinking to go back and forth with a car dealer, but really get treated differently and straight up front about payments, your trade-in, especially what you're going to pay us for a car, I think McConnell is probably one of the best choices anywhere around, Dalton, because we just like to do it that way. And it's not everybody's favorite thing. Some people like to fight for a deal, but we really believe in just putting our best prices out there. And right now you can go to our website and check out the new AT4. I think we got a better price than anybody in the state right now, and it's just very simple to shop with us, Dalton. We hope everybody takes advantage of it, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a great day.
Man, y'all have a great day, dog.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38. Head to the phones here at 343-0106. Quick reminder, too, VoteNappies.com, up and running, the nappy voting. Y'all have been so kind to us in the past. We sure appreciate your votes there. A basket full of categories in the media section for FM Talk 106.5 from sports shows. Mm-hmm. Like, you can vote. You can do this. You have a mixed bag. You can vote for Sports Night with Dalton and Corey. And then you could go vote for Mobile Mornings in a category. And then you could vote for Midday Mobile in a category, or Sip and Chew in a category.
Yeah, and what's working with Cam Marston? He's up there also. Kelly Finley in there for best DJ voice, even though we say she has the best journalist voice here on FM Talk 106.5. But all kinds of categories that we are in. And all kinds of categories that our partners are in here at FM Talk 106.5, especially there in the food category.
Absolutely.
Some of my favorites.
That's right. So check it out. VoteNappies.com. So VoteNappies.com.
That's right. And you can vote through June the 2nd.
All right. We'll have to go the farthest call first because David is in San Francisco. Hey, David.
Whoa.
Hey, morning.
Hey, what are you listening on the app, or are you listening on the app this morning?
Well, normally I do, but, you know, the space aliens caught me once, and they stuck something way, way up my nose, and you just don't want to watch me tune the dial. Hearing about, you know, you're in a port city, right, Mobile?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you've got the international trade, you've got currency exchange systems in your town, same as San Francisco. And the idea that a guy like Trump creates this crazy situation where all of a sudden the world's economy has to dance to his tune. And so he's crashed the price of soy. Apparently, soy farmers have been blowing their brains out for the last year because the soy price crashed. And one of the things that actually could save the day, remember the old inventor George Washington Carver?
Sure.
Yeah, he invented 600 inventions that could be made out of the soybean. And he did it knowing that there'd be small shops doing it, not major factories. But small shops could be creating, you know, different kinds of plastic items. You could make varnish, you could make paint, you could make inks, you could make all sorts of different items, plus shoes. I mean, imagine you
wait, David, let me follow.
You could coat with plastic, right? And
right.
You could make shoes. Right?
David, I got to end it here. So your idea is that the U.S. should be creating new markets internally for the soybeans that aren't purchased in China now during the tariff battle?
Well, it's not just that. That is, of course, part of it. But the biggest part is how did America fall for the idea that we don't make shoes in America anymore? They're all made 6,000 miles away.
Because we purchased cheap labor. You saw it happen. It shouldn't be. If anybody's waking up on this Tuesday morning and saying, hey, what happened to our manufacturing? Y'all been sleeping hard here. I mean, we've been outsourcing cheap labor for a very long time.
Yeah, so this whole, you know, they sucker punched America 1,000 times, you know, for the last 40 years or whatever. And we're pretending that China is in charge. They're not in charge. It's the financiers that took the jobs over there, and they're really secretly running the government in China. And I'd say it's probably London, but I couldn't be sure.
All right, well, tell everybody in the Bay Area I said hello.
Sure. By the way, you ever read the Paradise Papers?
Not. Is that exotic novel?
The Panama Papers, but it was a slight different download. It was somebody was able to go to the accounting firm of major banks and discover how they were money laundering, and it got in politicians, it got in bankers, it got in all sorts of famous people who were doing money laundering, and these are the secret people behind all of this stupid trade action.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not familiar with it. I mean, I have to look it up when I have extended period of time to do that.
You know, a lot of this trade stuff goes over my head. I am good at looking things up on the internet.
You're very good at that.
And soybean prices, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the fall, and they have fallen pretty far since the highest I've seen the bushel of soybeans ever is looks like $16.01 per bushel back in 2012. And right now we're sitting at about $8.02 per bushel. It was that low 10 years ago.
Right, so, that's what I said. You beat me to it. I mean, this is... I will say this. Right now, you can definitely say the soybean price is down because of these uncertainties for sale to China. Absolutely. And this is a tough time of year because farmers right now are in debt. The farmer, yeah, I'm not talking about the Archer Daniels Midland. I'm talking about my people, you know, family farmers. And family farmers right now are in debt because they spent the money on planting this year's crop. Okay, you do that. It's the gamble the farmer does every year. You're putting the crop in. You got to make a call, especially if you have ground. There'll be ag folks out there nodding along with me. If you have ground that can carry various things. Now, you're going to rotate certain crops through. Like a lot of times you have a cotton peanut rotation. People that you know have bean ground will rotate other crops in with the beans sometimes, but sometimes they'll stick with beans all the time if the price is good. But they're trying to gauge the market ahead of time. They were doing that back when it was still cold. Gauge the market, figure out what they were doing based on what they think the sales price will be then. Because you have input cost right now. You have the cost of the seed, which if you look at, if you're buying a Roundup Ready soybean and whatever, whichever one you're buying, and you have soybeans, it gets complicated. You have different scheduled soybeans, different parts of the country, but you're buying those. Roundup Ready, you're buying, of course, maybe Roundup lawsuit will pay for everything. You're buying Roundup Ready beans. You're buying the, you're paying for the diesel to put that in, the time on the machines to put that in, because you're gauging the fact that you're going to be able to sell it at, you think, this price down the road. Mm-hmm. There's that average price or where the support price is. But beyond that, you have a situation where it could be a very dry year. It could take you a ton in irrigation to make that happen. Or maybe you just lose the crop because of you don't have an irrigation source. Or maybe what happens is, to the better, a big hurricane goes through one region of the country that's a big, you know, like this happened in Mississippi Delta and Louisiana, and crushes their crop there, and they can't get it out. They all got to take crop insurance on that. And you're left over here where you have a crop, and you now all of a sudden the price is up. It is a commodity market.
Mm-hmm.
It is a risk. That is what farmers deal with every year, that they go in debt for the chance to be able to make up the money they spent and make a profit coming up when it's harvest time. So these numbers right here may, in a weird way, and even in the South, we put beans in, but there's probably areas of the country that haven't put beans in. And I wonder if there won't be a regulating effect. And I know this is like away from the basic talking points of any radio talk show. But farmers might look at this and look at these low prices and not put beans in where they normally would put beans. They may put another crop in.
Right.
Which, with Alabama passing the baiting thing. If I could put feed corn in, y'all, Alabama legalizing baiting for to hunt over bait, corn futures should go through the roof.
Yeah, nice market.
It's going to be good. But if you had a choice, you would say, okay, this price is depressed. I feel like they won't get a deal worked out by the time it is time I would ship to China. So at this point, they may not choose to put beans in on bean ground, which will make the beans that are in fewer, mm-hmm. and therefore supply will be lower and demand will be higher internally, and maybe it'll mitigate some of those losses going forward. Now, there's a lot of if, ands, or the weather involved in that, but that's just, it's more complex than just, you know, A or B, yes or no.
And we heard Quinn say earlier in the hour, he said, you know, a lot of these farmers supported Trump, and now they're being hit hardest in this trade war. And I'd like to see some of the data that backs that up, that he's losing voters that are farmers because of this. And kind of like we've seen in so many national stories before, whether it's a strike of some sort or a protest going out there, when the news media gets involved, they're looking for drama and they're looking for stories. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to go out and find a few people that have been greatly affected by something like this, to go out and find a few soybean farmers that have had profits completely cut into. But I want to look at farmers as a whole and where they stand now in as far as their support for Trump, and whether farmers in general are willing to put up with some of this short-term loss for a potential long-term gain.
Potential long-term gain, but it's not a sure thing. In, you know, soybeans and corn and cotton and peanuts and all those things are not widgets. They're not the same. They're not an iPhone, and it depends on the year of what they're going to get in that crop price. We'll talk about this. Run to the news break. We'll come back. I know, as my buddy John just said, the problem with the input prices are not where they were in 06, and they've been inflated and not adjusted for yet. Listen, the list of things that American farmers have to deal with to be able to just unlock the cab of the tractor are monumental, for sure. All right, coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Heads up, got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Probably seen that truck in your neighborhood. Well, do what your neighbors are doing. Get the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to get rid of the stuff that, number one, you physically can't move, you don't know where to take it to, or maybe it's up those creaky, what, the attic ladder stair thing with the big spring in it. Maybe you don't want to go up there in the attic and get it. Or maybe it's something big. Swing sets, above ground poles, storage units. Maybe it's a storage unit you're paying for, an offsite storage unit. Get that thing cleaned out. Save the money every week and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. 11 years now doing Mobile, Baldwin County junk removal with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Go online, make that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, well, can you continue to get your comments on a handful of things here? It's talking about, this all started off with the tariff discussion, and I got to tell you that I have, I think, since this has gotten going, saying I'm not a fan of this tariff battle, but I can understand where people can support it. I get it. I hope the president is successful. I'm a supporter of things that are good for this country. I guess I come at it not from a oppositional of the president. I come at it in a, I worry about this. Mm-hmm. I worry about these. And, like I pointed out the other day, the president said the Chinese will be paying all these tariffs. No, the Chinese don't pay the tariffs. We pay the tariffs. I mean, that's just how it works. I mean, that's how a tariff system works. Those products come in the United States, and if you want to buy that product, you're paying the tariff. Now, the other part of it is, how long does it take, or will businesses think that this is going to go on long enough to step in and start producing products that have been made by the Chinese? Like somebody said, shoes or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Will we step in and start producing at this higher price that it takes to produce it in the United States? I don't know. Because if you're a business, you can say, okay, there's market share there because now the Chinese price for the Chinese product with tariff is going to be equivalent with ours. But do you worry? This is real world business owner kind of stuff. It's not easy talk radio pablum. But if you risk the capital, spend the money to have manufacturing facilities and retooling and moving things here and that, and just when you get everything ready for your grand opening, then they've got a deal and everything goes back to China. Then you're like, whoa.
Yeah, because that could happen.
I screwed that up.
That could happen literally overnight.
Right. So the idea that people are just going to all of a sudden risk millions, if not tens of millions or more, in capital to retool, to manufacture things here stateside that have been long since manufactured out of the country, they'd have to go on a long time. Now, there are businesses that are in head-to-head competition with Chinese products that will love this, that will love this. It will absolutely benefit them because they're still in the business. But expecting a huge swath of our country that left for manufacturing jobs to all of a sudden risk capital and retool with the idea that we'll be in this tariff battle long enough for them to make a profit, I don't know how many of those companies will line up to do that.
I'm just amazed at how many plates the Trump administration right now is spinning in the air at the same time between the trade war with China. Now we're kind of ratcheting up at least military posturing with Iran, and you got everything going on in Venezuela, and then whatever the Gaza Strip war right now between Israel and there's just so much going on out there and so much to keep up with daily in the news cycle, it's above me. It's above my pay grade to see how much this administration is juggling at one time. And it's really kind of what Trump promised when he came into office. He said all these battles that aren't being fought right now, because I guess past administrations have thought they're too difficult or just fine with the status quo being what it is. He said, listen, I'm not going to, at least he sold it to the American public. He said, I'm tired of these trade imbalances. We've got Oreo, we've got Nabisco being made over here, and no longer. We're going to take control again in the United States. And that seems to me to be what he's trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, well, and we'll watch where this goes. But I mean, just on the, on the soybean side specifically, and talking to our buddy Rennie in the back, who is, knows a thing or two about putting soybeans in dirt. He and his family have some soybean acreage. And we're talking about the fact that so wet right now, a lot of farmers haven't put in the soybeans. They haven't been able to get in to their fields. And so I mean, these things, that's what I'm saying. It's not widgets. When you look at soybeans and you watch these commodity prices move, it's not a widget. It's not a factory making an iPhone or something where everybody shows up every day and depending on demand, they make X number of things. In the world of farming, there's so many other variables. How about this? How about with all the push for hemp and legalized marijuana and all that stuff? What if we, instead of the price support, instead of having the money going directly to the farmers for their losses on soybeans, those that haven't put in beans yet, haven't grown the industrial hemp, okay, and then you have a smaller supply of soybeans, and we can keep the soybean prices better because you'll have less supply with the same amount of demand.
You're always thinking.
I'm trying to do something there. I don't know. All right. We'll talk about this more coming up on shows in the future and on the midday show today. It is National Police Week, as we mentioned, National Law Enforcement Week. And coming up, it's funny how that's timed out. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us in hour number two of Midday Mobile today. And a reminder, if you check out Three Big Things, top stories of the day on the front page of our website, Baldwin County Law Enforcement Memorial Ceremony is going on starting at 10 this morning at Robertsdale at Law Enforcement Memorial Park, right next to BCSO. That's the annual Law Enforcement Memorial Ceremony. We'll talk more about this coming up at noon. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Y'all have a great one.